Welcome to the Bible Truth Podcast with Ron and Tim Reynolds, pastors and Bible teachers. Pastor Ron and Pastor Tim combine for more than 70 years of teaching and preaching God's Word. Listen now as they share the eternal truths of the Bible.
All right, we're jumping into the middle of John chapter 15, and we continue to look at the instructions that Jesus gave his disciples as they made their way toward the Garden of Gethsemane. But these instructions were not just for the disciples at that time, but they're for we disciples today as well. Let's begin at verse 16 of John chapter 15. Jesus says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it." Now, I know that there's different opinions as to what this verse is talking about. I think when it's made very plain, we ought to just take it as it is. I believe it is speaking here of the fact that God, in his sovereignty, chooses his children. Now, I know it's an ongoing controversy as far as the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. Well, then don't we have a responsibility? Yes, we do. And God has given us a free will to exercise our responsibility in choosing or not choosing him. But the point we're dealing with here is his business, not our business, his business. And I don't understand how he does it, why he does it, but he does it according to the Bible. "Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you." So let's just take it as it is and believe it as it is, that God, in his infinite foreknowledge, we call it the doctrine of election, has elected, or he has chosen us. Again, that's his business. I don't know why, but he has done that according to the Bible. Not only has he chosen his children, but he has ordained them or appointed them to bring forth fruit. All right? That's what he's teaching here. He's saying, "I've ordained you that ye," now not just the disciples at that time, but all disciples, "should go and bring forth fruit." By the way, notice you should go. You'll not produce any fruit if you just stay in one place. I'm speaking spiritually here, but literally as well. You've got to go for God. You've got to do something for God. You know, not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And he says that you should go and bring forth fruit. But notice this, he says, "and that your fruit should remain." In other words, he wants us to not only produce fruit, but he wants the fruit we produce to remain. I think he means there that he wants us, when we produce fruit, that it's, you know, that we do it the right way, that we do it for his glory, that we do it by taking the word of God, that we don't try to manipulate people and say that we led them to the Lord and take the glory for ourselves, but that our fruit should remain. And he says that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it. So God chooses us. He ordains us to get busy for him and serve him. He wants the fruit to remain, which I believe is a foreview of taking the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we have the responsibility not only to preach to every creature and pray that they be saved, and then when they're saved, we have the responsibility of discipling them or teaching them. You know, that's what the Bible implies there in Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. As we look at Matthew chapter 28, you have the Great Commission. Matter of fact, the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel is given five times in the Word of God. And here he says in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now here's the commission. Go ye therefore. That means me too. All right. That means you. That means boys and girls, men and women who are Christians have a responsibility to go therefore and teach all nations. Teach them what? Well, teach them the word of God. Explain to them the word of God, how to be saved. Teach all nations. Then, I know the word then's not in there, but the implication is baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. So, we take the word of God to people, and they get saved, and then they get baptized. That's all part of our commission, which implies that all believers should get baptized. Then, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's discipleship. That is teaching them to do what you've just done for them. You have taken the gospel to them. They've been saved and baptized. Well, you teach other people how to do what you've just done. And it reproduces itself. And that's spiritual fruit that he's talking about. And he says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So we have the promise of his presence being with us as we go to produce fruit in our spiritual fruit in our Christian lives. Verse 17, these things I command ye that you love one another. Now notice here, loving one another is not an option. We say, well, I want to love this person, but I don't want to love that one. No. It says, these things I command you. It's a command that you got to love one another. You know, it's a responsibility that we have of loving one another. Matter of fact, Jesus says in another place, people will know that you are my disciples by your love one for the other. So our love for our fellow believers, our fellow Christians, is a proof of our salvation. It really is. Then he says in verse 18, he changes the subject from love to hate. And he says, if the world hates you, the world here is speaking of unsaved mankind, all right? Sometimes the world is translated as earth, or is translated as mankind. It can be translated various ways. It can be translated as a system, a world system, which is headed by Satan himself. And that could be the meaning here. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So Jesus is saying, look, he is preparing these disciples for what's ahead because they're going to be hated. As a matter of fact, all of them will die martyrs' deaths. They'll be put to death for their Christian testimony. He's preparing them for that. And he's saying, get ready. The world's going to hate you. But understand this, they also hated me. They hated me before they hated you. And that's true. Verse 19, if you were of the world, in other words, if you was an unbeliever and you didn't have any interest in God and whatever, well, he says, if you were of the world would love his own. You'd be loved if you did what they do. They'd love you. But because ye are not of the world, this world system, of which the god of this world is Satan, the Bible says, ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Again, referring to his sovereignty of electing and choosing whom he wants to choose. That's God's business. Our business is to respond, to believe. Therefore, the world hateth you. So, he changes from love to hate. The world's going to hate you. And then he says in verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Well, let's take this verse apart. Notice he says here, I want you to remember something, that the servant's not greater than his master or his Lord. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And that's true. That's very true today. I just saw on the news this morning where there were several Christians that were murdered in a foreign country, foreign to America, foreign country, just yesterday. They were put to death. I have been told there's been more Christians killed in the 20th century than all the rest of the centuries prior. So, and Jesus says, if they have persecuted me, they also will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. In other words, there's some that will, you know, there's some that will come out of the world and do what Jesus said. And when you take the word of God, some's going to respond to it, and some will keep the word that you're giving them, because not everybody remains in the world. Some, you know, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For those that love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And so some people hear the word of God, they respond to it, they get saved, and so they are born again, born from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light by faith in Christ. And so then they will keep my word. And then verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. They're going to persecute you. They're going to hate you. And their motive for it will be because they hate me. Because they know not him that sent me. They really hate God the Father, and they hate God the Son. They hate anything to do with God. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, speaking into the unsaved world, they had not had sin. Now watch this, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He is simply saying here, since I have come into the world and enlightened them to the truth, now they're responsible for it. Okay? If I hadn't have done that, they would not have been responsible to obey my word, but now that they've heard it, they're responsible for it. And when he says here, now they have no cloak for their sin, simply means now they're responsible. They can't cover their themselves. They can't find any excuse now for their actions and their wicked lives. And so he wants them to know, wants the unsaved world to know, that because they've heard him, now they're responsible for what they've heard. Verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. Well, here we see how their hatred is consistent. They hated Jesus, they hate the disciples, and they hate God the Father. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, he says in verse 24 something similar to what he said in verse 22 about have no cloak for their sin. He said, if I had not done among them, the world, the unsaved world, the works which none other man did, speaking of his miracles, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Basically saying the same thing. Now that they've seen the miracles, they're responsible for either believing or not believing the miracles. Some did, some didn't. That's what he means when he says they had not sinned, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. So basically it's saying they have seen what I have done in performing supernatural miracles, but that did not cause them to put their faith and trust in me. And that's true. You don't see to believe. You believe if you want to see. All right. it always begins with faith, not sight. We walk by faith and not sight, the Bible says. And then he says in verse 25, But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, referring to the first five books of Moses. There is referring to the Jews. Their law, they hated me without a cause. Now, I said the first five books of the Bible actually is talking about passages from the Old Testament. When he says that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, he's probably not just referring to the five books of Moses, but he's referring to specifically Psalm 35, verse 19, or possibly Psalm 69 and verse 4. Now then, he goes back to talking about the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, and that would be the Holy Spirit that would come after Jesus ascended to heaven, they prayed for 10 days, and then the Holy Spirit came and filled every believer there, the 120, and Peter preached, and 3,000 got saved. That's in Acts chapter 1 and 2. But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, here you have the Trinity here. You've got God the Father, you've got God the Son that's speaking, and he's speaking of the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all found in verses 26, 27. For when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, that's just another name for the Holy Spirit. Comforter is another name. Spirit of truth is another name. Which proceedeth from the Father, that's where he comes from. He, notice the personal pronoun, the Holy Spirit's a person. He shall testify of me, Jesus says. The Holy Spirit's going to give testimony to me. And ye also shall bear witness, you disciples shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So not only is the Holy Spirit going to testify of the validity of Jesus Christ as to who he was, what he did, and whatever, who he is, but the disciples have that same responsibility to bear witness unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And of course, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit has come, let me just read it to you. I don't want to misquote it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 is a verse that tells us about the power that the Holy Spirit gives us to witness for him. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, Jesus, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It starts with locally and spreads out to all over the earth. We are to be witnesses. And that's what every local church ought to do. They should start with their own Jerusalem. We live in Mount Vernon, Illinois, so we need to evangelize Mount Vernon and then spread out some more and spread out some more until we're taking the gospel all around the world. And, of course, we are doing that as a church by supporting missionaries at home and around the world. Well, that ends chapter 15, which is just a great chapter in God's Word in regards to how that God expects us to produce spiritual fruit in our Christian lives. And I hope I've done a good job of explaining it the best I could do. I'll put it that way. All right, I look forward to teaching John chapter 16 in our next session.
You've been listening to the Bible Truth Podcast with your host pastors, Tim and Ron Reynolds. They can be contacted on the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple Facebook page, or you may send Pastor Tim an email to timrey1@hotmail.com. Or if you prefer, mail correspondence to Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Again, that's Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.